This is James Corbett of the Corbett Report. It's the 4th of May, 2009, and I'm talking to Jim Tucker of AmericanFreePress.net. Mr. Tucker needs no introduction. He is the premier reporter of the Bilderberg Group and its ongoing conference for the last 30 years. Mr. Tucker, thank you for joining me today. And
my pleasure. Please, pardon my swine flu.
Well, I understand that that you're also quite a smoker, so maybe you should...
I smoke less than 4 packs a day.
Well, that's not too much, I guess. All right. Well, Mr. Tucker, tell us just briefly a little bit about yourself and your history reporting with Bilderberg.
Well, my first 20 years was with the mainstream newspapers. They held high positions on the Washington Daily News until it folded up to 72. I was night editor. I'd been on the copy desk, Richmond, Virginia Times, Dispatch. Akron, Ohio, Beacon Journal, they called me assistant news editor, whatever that meant. And I'd been editor of three different smaller dailies over the years. And came to Washington in 1975 and was hired to get pregnant and create the Spotlight, which is the forerunner of American Free Press. That was when I first heard of Bilderberg. I'd never heard the word before. So I was doubtful. They gave me a great deal of material on Bilderberg, including the late, great calls by, Lord, I can see his face, I'm trying to remember his name, who first reported on Bilderberg in 1957. He was a syndicated columnist, Wes Bookpegler, of course, and he had been... told about some mysterious meeting off of Jekyll Island, Georgia, a place surrounded by armed guards and only limousines and helicopters allowed in. And so he grabbed his binoculars and went down and climbed up the big hillside and identified by sight, since he is a world traveler, a large number of the participants. He raised logical questions. Why are they meeting in secret? What mysteries are they up to? Naming a large number of them whom he had identified in two of his lengthy columns, one following the other. I read Wes Bookpegler for years and years, always a fan of his. So at that point, I became convinced. And then the same question popped in my mind. How could I spend 20 happy years with newspapers, with wire machines, AP, and United Press clucking beside my ear all day, bureaus all over the world, and not be aware of such a group? So at that point, I came committed to chasing down and exposing Bilderberg.
Well, of course, I think a lot of my listeners are familiar with the Bilderberg Group and, of course, some of your incredible adventures. And if they're not familiar with your work, I would suggest they get your book, Jim Tucker's Bilderberg Diary, to find out more about some of your previous reporting. But let's talk about Bilderberg 2009. First of all, can you tell us what details that you have so far on Bilderberg 2009 and how you've cultivated that information?
They'll be meeting, and I'll be flying out there this next Monday, in Loulamini, Greece, which is very close to Athens, Greece. May 14 to 17, they'll be meeting that during that weekend. And high on their agenda will be some obvious things like the economic chaos throughout the world, how to exploit that. Their hopes are to create an international Department of the Treasury. A world Department of the Treasury in the UN. So they'll be trying to exploit the funny swine flu thing. In fact, it's being manipulated just to create a fear in the hearts of the world so that the World Health Organization can become a world Department of Health and Human Services sort of operation. Now,
is that something that you've gotten specifically from your Bilderberg sources, or is that something that you've cultivated from other sources?
Several inside sources who, if they were identified, would no longer be sources because they would be recognized by, they'd be called leaks by their own people.
Right.
But I can say these sources haven't failed me in many, many years. We have stories going this week about the phoniness of the so-called swine flu. Okay, we have a couple hundred cases in this country. But every year, 350,000 Americans get some form of flu. Every year, more than 30,000 Americans die of some form of flu. So the Dickey flu decided to give it call it swine flu, and let's scare the hell out of the whole country. In fact, let's scare the world to death. It created a demand. Bilderberg's always thought that using fear was an effective tool.
It absolutely is, and of course we remember just a few months ago on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, Henry Kissinger saying that the Obama administration had a chance to use the financial crisis to create the New World Order, and of course a swine flu pandemic, whether real or imagined, could be used in the exact same way, I'm sure. What about other issues that you expect might be covered this year?
Well, always the issue, although they've been losing that battle, of transforming the Western Hemisphere into an American Hemisphere, similar to the European Union, is part, which would be another giant step toward world government. But on this one, as Americans become more aware, they become less effective. Back in the 90s, they were confident that they'd have the American Union established by the year 2000. Now, this is 9 years later, and they're further behind, or they've gained no ground. And that's because Americans are becoming aware, in spite of the complete blackout by the mainstream media, the major newspapers, and all these major network outlets have promised to never use the word Bilderberg, report nothing on Bilderberg. But last year at Chantilly, we had a large number of these independent daily newspapers and independent broadcasts, radio and TV stations, out covering Bilderberg, and of course of American Free Press, and Lord, I can't name all the various, but there's a large number of independent media there, privately owned, smaller newspapers, privately owned, not network, TV and radio stations, and there's becoming more and more aware. There are senators and House members who used to attend on a regular basis are scared to go because they hear from their constituents. So truth is our greatest weapon, and Bilderberg has been slowed down, punched in the belly. We're going to hit them again.
It certainly has. It's certainly down, and we are hitting them hard, but we have to continue to do it in the info war by exposing their agenda. And part of that, of course, each year comes from the Trilateral Commission's annual meeting, which this year took place in Tokyo. What can you tell us about what might have taken place at that meeting?
Well, I've been told about what did take place. As you know, they have a common agenda. The Trilateral Commission is for the junior varsity. It was founded by David Rockefeller in 73. It includes 300 people, and while Bilderberg tends to be about 120. The trilateral people are not quite so secretive. They'll say, we're having this meeting, we're here, we're in this hotel. But they refuse to open the meetings up. The meetings are closed, the doors are slammed. They refuse to hold a press conference. They refuse to answer any questions or provide any information whatsoever. So we have to get it by devious means. Last year, I was able to simply obtain their whole kit that they give each member, which included text of speeches and membership and so forth. But Tokyo was a little bit beyond our budget. So we're grabbing it from various sources. We've had some in my page 2 column last week, and we'll have more this week on trilaterals and as they apply to the Bilderberg meeting, because, as you know, they have a common agenda. Now, you can look forward to the Council on Foreign Relations coming up with white papers advocating positions advocated by the trilateral Bilderberg gang. They'll probably come along about October, November, in their quarterly magazine. That's the drill.
Well, in fact, last year we saw the implementation of the Bilderberg agenda starting almost right away with Timothy Geithner coming out shortly, just a week or two after the meeting, and starting to call for increased internationalization of the monetary system. Do you think there's an actual speeding up of the agenda that's been taking place in recent years?
They will certainly try to. In fact, Gessler's made a comment speaking to his buddies at the Council on Foreign Relations. He sort of tripped over his mouth and had something to say, I can't think exactly what it was, but about how they're open to international organizations helping us to control our finances. And of course, he was embarrassed because it was reported, even though he was speaking to the Council on Foreign Relations, the propaganda ministry for Bilderberg and Trilateral. But he'll without a doubt be at the Bilderberg meeting because the Secretary of Treasury, Defense, and State always attend, along with high officials of the White House to give the President his orders. So they'll be grabbing airplanes for it. Lula meeting this next week. Well, they'll have to fly to Athens.
Do you have any other indication of anyone else who might be expected to attend this year?
No, just the proper appropriate cabinet members and the regulars like Rockefeller and his valet, Henry Kissinger, and somebody from the Rothschild family, heads of state from Europe. And, of course, international financiers from Europe and the United States. They always attend. It's routine as taking a bath.
All right. Well, Jim Tucker, thank you very much for joining us. And tell us once again how people can get in touch with your work and keep track of your reporting on Bilderberg 2009.
Well, it would be my pleasure. You could simply call American Free Press at 202-544-5977. Or you could do it by snail mail if you want to. The address is American Free Press, 645 Pennsylvania Avenue Southeast. That SC, uppercase SC, is very important. 645 Pennsylvania Avenue Southeast, Suite 100, Washington, D.C., 20003.
All right, Jim Tucker, thank you very much for your time, and best of luck for you in your reporting coming up next week.
Thank you very much. Talk to you later.
Goodbye.